let's understand the parameters on which, you know, these are from an overall realistic global relocation purview. Let's understand what we have as a part of our discussion. Few of the important parameters which we are discussing here is organization and dual couple view of relocation, you know, because both the couple would have a different view on relocation element of the entire career progression, and hence it is very important for both the members, both the people of ideal couple, they should be able to come to a common consensus and then to be able to plan their future, plan their growth accordingly. A realistic preview, for example, you know, site visit, family inclusion. At the same time, you know, it also helps you to manage your expectations positively. Hence, whenever you are talking about a realistic preview of having a global relocation policy, please understand all these parameters need to be considered as a part of your preview. Hence, visiting the family, understand your neighbors around, understand the entire ecosystem are the few important parameters which will help you to be realistic from your expectations point of view. Pre-departure visits as a part of our cross-cultural training program will definitely benefit both the parties, because before you settle down, before you get into a new place or a new family or a new location, please understand as a part of your pre-departure, understand all the logistics, understand the pros and cons of the location, understand what is working positively for you, what is not working positively for you. Please make a list of such things, because before you take a final call and you plan your departure to the new location, understand the pre-departure related formalities, understand what is required purely from a cross-cultural sensitivity point of view. Because at the end, if you create that awareness, if you understand the expectations well in advance, it's going to benefit both the parties in a very, very positive way. Point number four here focuses on site visits reduce unrealistic expectations and also helps the families to prepare the relocation in a positive way. Hence, anything which you plan in advance with the proper planning, with the proper infrastructure, with the proper expectations, you will be able to match the nearest possible outcome from a relocation point of view. And hence, it is always good to have a proper site visit to be able to reduce the unrealistic expectation is what the clear point we are focusing upon. Point number five, focus here on HR should consider family life cycle and proactive selection measures. Basis on the employee life cycle, basis on the level in which the spouse and the partner and the dual career couples are in their career progression, as in at the level in which they are working in the organization. HR should interfere, understand what best would work for both of them, because if you're able to do that from a global relocation policy, obviously you will be able to do more justice for it. And of course, from an overall selection point of view, you will be able to have a realistic expectations with them. Let's understand the impact of international assignments on work-life balance. Expats no longer, you know, face no longer working hours and constantly are connected with each other. This is how, if your expats are facing longer working hours and they are constantly connected with each other, in spite of having a negative work-life balance or not so positive, you know, impact on that work-life balance, since they are connected with each other and they are facing each other, you know, from a day-to-day work function point of view, they are constantly connected. They are constantly aware of the positives and negatives, the advantages and disadvantages of their working together. Family tension increases due to disrupted routines because of the spouse career. Let's assume one of the spouse, one of our team member, one of our person who is expected or who has just delivered a baby. Of course, because of this, your personal commitment and your professional commitment will go for a toss. And hence, such tension need to be avoided to be able to provide that uninterrupted, you know, routine to your family, to your team members, to be able to have a positive work-life balance. Demanding schedules also impacts the expat's personal and family life negatively. Hence, whenever we are working with expats, understanding the cultural fitment, understanding the cultural sensitivity is one of the important aspects of work-life balance, because when you do this, you will be able to set up a realistic expectations with your team member, particularly keeping expats and also keeping the employees who are working closely with you from a dual career, from an expat on all the business related activities from a long-term person. From the key findings as a part of our work-life balances for expat, these are certain statistics which definitely helps us to understand the concept much better. Around 65% of expat work 15 plus long hours, abroad, particularly at home. So while the expats are working in one particular location and they're working for more than 13 plus hours longer at a abroad location compared to their home. For example, if I'm somebody who's based at Mumbai and on average I spend 8 to 10 hours in office as a part of my professional commitment, the statistics says that approximately 65% of the expats are working for more than 13 hours, as a part of their work commitment. And hence, this particular talks negatively from your work-life balance. And that's the reason today expats are demanding for a positive work-life balance to be able to do more justice to what they are doing. At the same time, they're also able to keep a proper balance between their personal and professional commitment, because I'm a strong believer that if you're happy at home, you will carry on that happiness to your workplace. And if you're happy at workplace, you will carry that happiness to your home. That's how your home and your work goes hand in hand. And the proper balance is one of the key attributes we need to focus upon from an expat working point of view. Typically under this concept, the expat works disruptively, and because of this 5% families return home early. So the work disrupts family life, and that's why 5% families return to their home early. While 5% is one of the parameters we are focusing upon, friends, please try to understand that from a work-life balance, many a times 5% is the number we are referring to who return their home early. Rest, 95% of the population from an expat point of view do not return to their home on time. And this is something which is a matter of concern for all of us from a positive work-life balance point of view, particularly keeping expats into consideration. Weak organization policies on work-life balance, which typically 21% formal and informal policies. When I say 21% of the population feels that the positive work-life balance is one of the parameters which they are struggling with. When I say 21%, 21% of the population are principally struggling with this particular aspect, and that's the reason with a positive 21% policy related activities, the rest 79% of the population is still struggling, and that's the reason a weak organization policy is one of the parameters which typically is a point of worry for all the expats from the working policy. Stress and policy related disconnect. Cultural language differences creates a lot of stress despite of providing a right amount and the right level of training. If you're not culturally able to fit in the organization, in the overall environment you are working, and especially language becomes one of the barrier. Many a times, with country like India, in spite of having one common language, there are a lot of cultural and language related barriers wherein people are not able to communicate well. And because they're not able to communicate well, there's a disconnect, and it impacts your overall training, overall performance management system. And definitely cultural sensitivity is one of the key elements wherein you need to promote more and more positive attributes as a part of your cultural environment building practices from a long-term perspective. Female expats report high stress level than male counterpart, because typically the way the way a female and the way male have been born in the system, and the way they have diverse experiences, having a proper work-life balance for a female is something which is very easy because they have managed multiple roles. But typically, if there is a disconnect between the male and female of your family members, typically the male counterpart find it very difficult because they are not able to cope up the proper work-life balance related activities, whereas females are more flexible. They are able to take up additional challenges and they are able to comfort the family members. And that's why, with due respect to both male and female, both of them have their positives and negatives from an overall expectation setting point of view. Typically, from the expat level, female members of the expat find it that their stress level are very high compared to their male counterpart, because here female beautifully manages the work, but many a times because of the cultural insensitivity, because of a misbalance, many a times the female finds it more difficult, more stressful because of the nature of business they are getting into, because they are expected to manage their home. At the same time, they are expected to manage their work. Whereas in most of the cases, the male counterpart manages only the work, little bit of home-related activities. But in case of female population, they manage both personal and professional commitments so beautifully because they have born naturally with that extra talent. But the problem is that adds a lot to their stress level and they find it difficult from an overall work-related activities point of view. Expats and HR have contradicting views on work-life balance policy, and hence whenever HR from an intermediary point of view or making any policy-related changes or taking suggestions or asking for feedback, please remember HR plays a very important role, and that's the reason both HR and expat many a times do not come to a common conclusion, and there are contradicting views which is creating a undiverse environment, unexpected realistic expectations indirectly comes into picture, because when the expectations are not real, it will create a miscommunication, it will create a negative impact on the expats from a work-life balance point of view. And hence, both the expat and the HR need to come to a common conclusion that how better they can work together and create more and more positive harmony in the organization. And that's how they will be able to create a more positive work-life balance from a policy point of view. Let's also understand the effect of COVID on high earning expats. So when an expat is working and the expectations and the salary expectations are high, a lot of things affects from overall earning point of view. Let's understand these points in a little deeper way. Point number one focuses here: job losses due to business being shutting down during the pandemic is one of the reasons or one of the negative impacts on expats, because they have dealt with loss because of COVID, and because of that they have shut down their business because they are not getting that expected revenue from a long-term person. Let's take an example of many fast food industry members who were earning their daily livelihood as a part of their creating, as a part of their job creating, job-related, enrichment, job-related activities, job enhancement. They were creating a lot of job opportunities for startups. But because of COVID, because of their business opportunities got lost on account of COVID, they are creating losses, and that's why many of them have discontinued their businesses. Point number two, expat faces concerns of safe returning to their homes from a home country. Because of pandemic, the overall infrastructural support, local and international support varied from country to country, from policies to policies, from compliance to compliance. And that's the reason many expats had a lot of concerns going back to the home country, because they were not finding it easy to relocate, easy to go back to the expat location, because a lot of business-related questions were arise, and that's the reason they were not able to take proper care of their business, typically the high revenue businesses under the tough COVID time. Point number three here focuses on hiring recovery in major metros stalled post March 21. Of course, many of the positions went on hold because the hiring of the expats, particularly in metro cities, discontinued after March 2021. Because March 2021 was a time when COVID was at a peak, and because of it, many of the hiring positions went on hold, and that's definitely impacted a lot negatively on high earning expats because they were not able to generate that revenue from a long-term person. Point number four focuses on surge in COVID-19 cases led to relocation from a cultural sensitivity point of view. They were finding it little hesitant amongst the expat because of the surge which happened during the COVID 19 cases. They were little reluctant, hesitant to go back to the normal working locations because the expats were finding it difficult from overall cultural management, from a relocation, from a overall business continuity point of view. They were finding it a little difficult to be able to merge them well and try to strike a balance between the metros, non-metros, and at the same time a lot of relocation related challenges were discussed as a part of our relocation policy because they were little hesitant to get back to work. Point number five, many candidates turned down the job offer due to relocation concerns because they were very clear. They were unsure about how the COVID is going to impact your day-to-day activities and how it will impact the overall, business, the overall health of the nation, overall health of individual. And that's the reason, because of that risk, because of that uncertainty, many of the employees turned down their job offers and they did not join the organization, the home location or their location where they were working. And that's the reason many expats who were based out of their hometown, they declined these offers, and this definitely had a negative impact from overall earning of your high expat business point of view, from overall revenue point of view, and from overall GDP point of view. These were few tough decisions which they had to take as a part of their expat retention, retaining them, bringing them back to corporate as a part of the expat policy was a big challenge for everybody in the human resource management point of view. Now that we have discussed the effect of COVID on a high earning expat, let's understand the concept of managing cross-cultural teams, which typically are one of the important elements of our discussion. So let's focus on managing cross-cultural teams. The impact of cross-cultural behavior in every organization focuses on the four important elements which you can see on my screen. Our differences in culture and motivation, typically the masculine versus the feminine side of every society, values, the overall rewards in a little different way. So typically when I talk about the organizational, human behavior, typically from a culture and motivation point of view, many a times the type of personalities which they are getting into as a part of their societies as a whole, their entire value system comes, as a part of our understanding of a question that how differently we can reward their behaviors and how differently both the feminine side and the masculine side of the personalities can be considered, not only from a gender point of view, from an overall personality point of view. At the same time, there is also a lot of effect on communication, typically a direct communication or indirect communication, which varies on the style of the particular person from an expat point of view, how they are behaving in an organization purely from a cultural sensitivity point of view. When we talk about a conflict resolution model, please try to understand that high context versus the low context from a resolution point of view, from a conflict resolution point of view, also influences your overall communication style, your communication approach, and the way you're going to approach the conflict. Let's say somebody with a very high masculine side, a lot of masculine ego comes as a part of a negotiation, and they come out very negative as an overall communication style point of view, definitely will have a lot of impact negatively on the conflict resolution approach. Hence, balancing all three elements of your difference from a culture and motivation, the communication style, And of course, the conflict resolution model needs to be considered to be able to properly tap all the three elements. The fourth element here focuses on the organizational change, because it differs on the way on how they value, how they view the overall adaption, overall change, which is typically based on your past, trend, present trend and future trend. And based on your organizational change, you need to be able to understand it wisely, to be able to design your understanding and to able to make sure that the impact on culture, on organizational behavior is positive. You need to be able to be little sensitive, to be able to understand what worked out well for us in past, basis on your learnings, basis on the difficulties in past, how we can better the current trend, and basis on the past and current trend and the future, aspiration to be able to understand, this could be one of the possible hurdles, how we can plan it better. These are the three important elements based on the past, present and future oriented, from a organizational behavior point of view, are the four facets of your personality, four facets of your learning to be able to adapt it positively from an overall impact of culture on organizational behavior. Let's understand the challenges in a cross-cultural teams. Many a times, direct versus indirect communication could be one of the difficult challenges, because cultural differences is how the issues are communicated. Please try to understand, with an open culture, with a proper positive communication channel, which typically is a direct channel, direct communication channel, a lot of cultural differences can be taken care positively. With indirect communication channel, indirect communication patterns, it may have a negative impact on the overall cross-cultural teams, from overall efficacy, from overall fluency and the overall development point of view. Let's understand the concept of accent and fluency, typically from a language barrier point of view. Because of this, a lot of misunderstanding could be created, and the impact is a lower participation, because they're not able to come up, match the expectations from a language, from an accent or from a fluency point of view. Hence, it's very important for each one of us to understand that all my employees are being provided a fair chance, and a lot of communication related trainings, a lot of development related trainings and a lot of language related trainings are being taken care of to be able to bridge the gap between the culture, between the accent and the fluency related issues, purely from a cross-cultural team point of view. Let's also understand the issues from a attitude towards the hierarchy point of view. There are different views from an organization, from an authoritative led conflict management process. Hence, it is very important for the expats to understand, for the HR and all the teams to understand, that if there are issues, particularly keeping attitude towards hierarchy at different level, they will have different views. Hence, it's very important for us to be able to have certain authoritative approach to be able to let the conflict, solve the conflict and ensure there's a smooth transition and people are working together as a team. Let's understand the impact of decision-making norms. When we talk about culture varies in decision-making process, particularly from a speed and from a thoroughness point of view. And hence, balancing all your team members, understanding what is working well for them, is one of the key elements as a part of our culture in a cross-cultural team point of view. Let's understand on strategies to manage the cross-cultural teams. If you see the four boxes which are there on the screen, talks a lot about the adaptation of culture. When I say adaptation, teams find ways to work around the cultural challenges and they are able to deal it in a positive way from learning from the processes. As a part of the adaptation, once you understand the processes well, as a part of your cross-cultural management, particularly in a team working environment, a lot of findings are being discussed upon, because these cultural challenges which we are referring to also opens a lot of door from a learning point of view. And hence, from our processes, we need to adapt to certain ways of managing, way around for our team members from a long-term perspective. A structural intervention, which talks about reorganizing, recognizing our teams to reduce the friction and solve the conflict positively. And hence, a lot of intervention from a structural is required, because they need to reorganize their team to be able to understand what is causing their stress, what is causing their, you know, issues from a long-term per se, and hence ensuring that we reduce the friction and we solve the conflict as quick as possible. It also focuses on managerial intervention, because managers set norms early to avoid conflicts later. That's the reason, basis on the feedback, which typically a manager understands the team dynamics and takes decision in such a way that he's able to take care of all the norms in advance, so that these conflicts may not arise from a long-term per se, and they are able to manage these conflicts well in time in advance. And hence, these strategies helps you to run the business from a long-term point of view. When there is an exit, the last resort, when challenges can't be resolved within the team, typically a difficult decision, because when you decide that you need to exit from the association, definitely, you know, it's not a very positive sign, but definitely we should avoid to reach at the level of exit. Hence, having a proper adaptation of your culture, working together as a team, keeping a lot of structural interventions from a reorganization, from a conflict resolution, from a friction reduction point of view. At the same time, managing the intentions of your managers and working together, understanding the manager's thing, and having those early signs as a part of, you know, wherein they think that somebody may move out because of any reason. As a manager, please understand those early signs of exit and work accordingly to be able to retain your employee from a long term per se. And hence, exit should be the last option. But still, if there's an employee who is wanting to exit from the process, definitely create a smooth exit, create that positive work environment in your organization, so that the exiting employee also feels very happy that yes, he was associated with a brand like this, and it's a mutual win-win for both of them. Because at the end, if an employee is exiting, please remember, it equally opens up door for other challenges, other managers, other employees to come into the new pipeline as a part of our strategy. And hence, every new blood coming in the organization is going to change your perception about, you know, working positively, about taking more challenges positively. And with a new team member coming in, obviously the entire perception changes more positively. Hence, I will always consider exit as one of the learning processes, because while exit is definitely not a positive reason or positive sign, but definitely when has somebody made their mind to exit the organization, please try to understand that even that entire process needs to be handled in such a way that the new employee coming into the system is able to adapt, to be able to adjust to the new culture, and the exiting employee also has high regards for your employment and it feels happy to be a part of the organization. And that's the reason a lot of post-exit interview, lot of post-exit people wants to rejoin, and such elements are important from a managing your cross-cultural teams as one of the elements of taking care of your employee lifecycle management. Let's understand this chapter, from a quick summary point of view. A woman's success in global assignment depends upon the personalities, the support, and the local attitude as a part of our overall cultural sensitivity. Because typically, when I talk about women, there are a lot programs which have been designed for women to be able to come back to corporate, and that's how they are able to give more justice, so they are able to have a positive work-life balance. From a dual career couple point of view, there were a lot of challenges we spoke about from an international assignment and the benefits from a strategic planning point of view, because the way you plan a dual career couple, from the lens of dual career couple, please try to give streamlined and proper exposure to both the members of the family of the couple to be able to have a positive work-life balance, and they are equally contributing to the overall success of their personal growth and professional growth. Work-life balance and cultural stress has an impact on expats overall from a gender participation point of view, particularly female expats, and hence having a proper work-life balance. Because many a time we have seen in many countries, in many population, where the household chorus is managed only by the female workers, female expats, whereas the male expats may not have a complete contribution. Hence, a proper work-life balance between both the genders, between both the couples, is one of the key elements to be able to have a lesser stress and a fruitful work environment between both the couples. Cultural differences affects motivation, communication, conflict, and also the change in the responses in the organization. And hence, you need to have the cultural sensitivity within your team members from an overall work, from an overall cultural point of view, is one of the key elements with this particular chapter discussed about. Strategies of managing cross-cultural teams includes adaption, structural interventions, and managerial support as one of the key elements, because at the end, these strategies are more participating. The more welcoming participation for your team members is focusing on strategy, definitely will help you to run from a long-term per se, whereas short eye vision with a short, short-term policies, short-term strategies, you will not be able to excel the way you want to excel. Hence, it's very important for each one of us to understand your strategies in such a way that you are able to manage your teams, manage your culture positively, and we include all the adaptation of structural intervention as a part of your managerial support. Because as a manager, if you're able to understand the early signs of growth, early signs of exit, you can design your policies in such a way that you have a proper work-life balance, both on the personal and professional front. Thank you.